from 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Live from the NFL Combine, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. It's the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Our coverage here in Indianapolis on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Old Hickory Credit Union and by Farm Bureau Health Plans, online at FBHP.com. Protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Farm Bureau Health Plans, if you can't find them online, you want to meet in person, you can do that. 200 locations across Tennessee. Any place you see a Farm Bureau office, you can find a representative for Farm Bureau Health Plans. The crew is all here. Final hour of this edition of the show on this Tuesday. Greg Cosell just walked in. We'll have him on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And every Tuesday at this time, John McClain joins us, presented by FreelandChevy.com. John, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was sitting here listening to Mike Vrabel talk to you guys. Mike ought to be still on cloud nine. You know, as soon as he got here, he got a lot of congratulations from his peers about that great coaching job in the playoffs, which they pulled off two humongous upsets. And so I hope I'm happy for Mike and happy for the Titans and eager to see if eventually I get one of those mock draft picks right. I've been going from edge rusher to offensive tackle to edge rusher. Are they going to re-sign Conklin or is he gone?
I don't see a scenario where he doesn't receive a massive payday on the open market.
Unless I think the scenario where he stays, which is an unlikely one, is no CBA, get a long-term deal with Tannehill, tag Henry, and use the other tag on Conklin. But that's still $16 million of space that they would have to create, which is awfully difficult.
How are they
and
under
then
the
maybe
cap?
Then maybe tag and trade.
They have money. They have money to spend.
Yeah, but it's gonna get tight. They have to cut some people. Delanie Walker's gonna get cut. Cam Wake should get cut. Deion Lewis should get cut. Ryan Suckup could get him $2 million if they needed it.
Do they have somebody to take Conklin's place, or would they have to go outside the
organization? No, well, Dennis Kelly's a free agent, so we think they'd re-sign Dennis Kelly, at least let him bridge, and then they could use that tackle you're projecting at 29.
Tackle's not a bad position of need at 29.
Tackle's second deepest position to wide receiver.
Yeah.
A scenario for everybody around the table. So, everyone's discussing the new CBA. On the horizon is the new television contract. And I wonder from an agent's perspective in giving advice to your client, if you are, you know, if you're going into contract number two, for instance, are you telling your client, hey, what about a short-term deal? Allow the new billions of dollars coming into the league to then set up that next big payday in 2 or 3 years down the road.
Boy, that's iffy. So many things can happen. If you have a chance to get $50 million right away guaranteed, as opposed to maybe getting another $20 million 3 years from now, you just don't know.
So you don't think we'll see a lot of short-term deals?
I think the agents will try.
I think you would be negotiating a big second-year number as it is.
Well, but the thought would be
the
cap goes up more, and the teams have more money and resources to spend, cash on hand
next year.
With all the TV money that comes in with the renegotiation.
Right, so I'd be negotiating for big money next year in this deal.
They're going to get this deal done because they don't want TV ratings will go down next year for the election, just like it did four years ago. So even though you would think the TV people understood, they don't want to go into a negotiation with the ratings down from the previous year, no matter what the reason was. So that's one reason they want to get it, and that's one reason the union wants more. You could do a voidable years deal. You could do something like Brady did, you know, put a thing in there. Or if you reach certain accomplishments, the last year voids, there's a lot of things that can be done, but it's hard to turn down millions of dollars if you got a chance to get it.
I thought J.J. Watt... I can understand his objections. The 17 games, unsatisfactory pay for
$250,000,
his stature, etc. But I think a blanket statement like he made, without the context of the items that upset him, that's a loud echo off of that tweet, and it's a disservice to a lot of guys who have a lot of benefits coming. who don't make nearly the money that he makes.
He makes, I think, $900,000 a game, and he'd have to pay $250. There's got to be something built into the 17th game that allows players not to have to take a pay cut.
Well, let's clarify what that is, because when I first read the story, I took it the wrong way. It's not a blanket, everybody receives this for the 17th game. It's simply when the 17th game is implemented, which everyone thinks it's 2022 when that goes into effect, because they say before 2023 and after 2021.
Yeah.
So it's 2022. I wish they would just say that. But beyond that, it's for players that have a contract as we speak right now into that season. That is what the allocation would be for the 17th game of that contract year. That's a small piece of the overall pie of players in the league right now. A lot of players won't be in the league in 2022, and the players that will be have a contract that will expire prior to that.
And the rank and file membership of the union, they don't give a rat's, you know what. They don't keep up.
Right.
They rely on their player rep to tell them, okay, here's the deal.
Here's how to vote.
Here's what we think, and they always sign off on it. So the union reps, on the recommendation from the executive committee, those are the ones that are most important. And the truth is, the union reps sign, they usually agree with the way the committee wants it, because the committee's been the one that's been in there the whole time. And that's why I thought they're the ones that negotiated the deal that the owner signed off on, and they voted 6-5 against it. Most people just want to know, when's it done, and what is it going to mean? And I think there's a lot of exciting things. I love the extra playoff. I love the 17th game. You know, I saw them go from 14 to 16, and it was amazing. There wasn't all the hand-wringing when they did that. And I hope that I've seen some of the things. The recommendations for the pre-1983 players that theirs are going to go up, anything they can do to help those guys, that's great. And they don't want to do it, but they do some, but it's never enough. And they're going to experience it someday, too, when they get to be old and feeble and have everything replaced.
John McLean with us. Coming up, we'll take your phone calls. John, was today, or in the middle of today the busiest day you've had at the Combine?
There's no pressure. I'm no question, Jonathan. It's an unprecedented day. They have never put all the coaches and GMs in one day, and then on top of quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends. They've never started 8 o'clock, and so I spent 3.5 hours with two other people last night on the Combine Quotes Network, assigning people and try to make sure everybody was covered. And then we got in here at 6:20 this morning to get in when the doors open so we could assign other things. And it's been a cluster. I'll just stop at that. That's what it's been.
We've had enough F-bombs on the radio road today.
Yeah, and a lot of that is because of our members, PFWA members, and who are a royal pain in you-know-what. And but
I've dragged my feet, I confess, but I'll do mine tomorrow.
But yeah, the worst is over now. It's a piece of cake. Thing that I like, player interviews over every day at 11. Used to is 5 o'clock.
Nice.
Time I get back to my hotel and finish writing and everything, be 7 or 7:30. But now you're done at 11. You got to clear the building at 5. But that is tremendous.
Is there any way? The only thing I saw today, 7. coaches/executives going simultaneously. If you want to get multiple things from multiple people and your GM or coach is talking there, you're doomed.
Well, you better transcribe your coach and GM if that's what you've been assigned and get it from everybody else, because people turn them around fast.
Yeah, you still can't get your question in.
We got Joe Burrow in there so fast, and we've gotten a great response on our Quotes Network, which is so smart to do, because you get 250, 300 players. You don't need 90% of them. But it's interesting to hear Burrow say, yes, I'm excited to play at Ohio. It's 2 hours, 15 minutes from my house. I could go home for dinner. What he means is I can go home and get my clothes washed, and because he won't be able to afford it, of course, with his 20-minute signing bonus. And he said all the right things. Tagovailoa, and one thing I learned on the pronunciation guide, it's not Tagovailoa. It's tongue, T-O-N-G-U-E. Nope. Tagovailoa. I don't know anybody will pronounce it like that.
We've been saying that on this show.
Have you? Well, yeah. Congratulations. Tagovailoa.
By the way, Burrow said that leverage comment, he meant his leverage was here to not work out and to do what he chose to do here, not to leverage the Bengals like he did.
Yeah, he said you got it all on film, and there's nothing left to see, and he'll do his pro days.
That's right.
So when you said Tagovailoa, everybody thought, they don't know how to pronounce his name.
Well,
Hutton's
still
always very good. At
still working on Mariota.
Just call him Tua.
Tua Tagovailoa.
It drives me crazy. People on my station, they hear me say Mariota every year for years, and they still say Mariota.
Here's what I just got from McLean's description of the new setup. Players and GMs done by 11. He's at Shapiro's by noon.
I haven't been to Shapiro's actually in about 3 years because of that.
Last time I
couldn't get out of
Shapiro's, Jim Wyatt was pulling over several times for me to.
I went with
get
John.
Rid
I've been with
Shapiro's.
John twice. He introduced me to Shapiro's, and I can't wait to go back. The problem is we're on during the time that John goes and visits during lunch.
That's why we need an intern again.
One of the
things.
One of the things I like about the combine is just the network, seeing people. Because there's no pressure on anybody. Same way at the league meetings. I love covering the league meetings because you can talk to people.
That's way more relaxed.
And they're not under pressure at all. And so everybody's so friendly. But then after the league meetings, then they start again in the draft. And then they get so tight you couldn't drive a pin up it with a sledgehammer.
You're not lying.
And on that, phone lines are open for the first time all day. Perfect segue. 615-737-1045. Your chance to talk to John McLean, the general, the man in black from the Houston Chronicle, as Mike Vrabel referred to John, the godfather of NFL coverage. Phone lines wide open for your NFL questions for John McLean at 615-737-1045. 737-1045.
John, you need the floor?
I was going to say... Keyshawn Vaughn, the running back from Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Is that the one that killed Baylor in the Texas Bowl?
Yes, that's him. That's him.
What kind of season did he have last year?
Injured. He was good when he was playing, but he was banged up a lot of the year.
My
He's
God,
been battling injuries his whole
that
career.
That kid killed Baylor. Baylor won. But
he's a great player.
He had so many long runs. I don't know if I've seen anything like that since Barry Sanders.
Today was a big day for Nashville college prospects, not just for Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's had some solid NFL prospects with Kalijah Lipscomb and Pinckney and Keyshawn Vaughn. But beyond that, Juwan Jennings played at Blackman, who was here. Van Jefferson
played at Ravenwood.
Yeah,
I listened to Van Jefferson for a good while.
Yeah, and very impressive at the podium there. Of course, Sean Jefferson's son, former Titans wide receiver.
Ravenwood
coach.
Guy.
Ravenwood, that's right.
School.
I didn't know Brad Hopkins had a son here.
That's another one.
Jim White told me.
Yeah, Bryson Hopkins is here. 615-737-1045, our number to talk with John McLean. It's the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
Win $1,000 four times a day. The $1,000 Workday Payday. Listen for the keyword weekdays at 8:15, 11:15, 2:15, and 4:15 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. I had all the mics cranked down so Paul could do a live spot now and not after the show.
I was asked to do it.
Oh. John McLean's with us here on 104.5 The Zone.
And I wanted to do it.
Our coverage presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and Old Hickory Credit Union. Big thanks to Rhett Bryan for making the show happen here. David Reed, chairman of the board, back on Music Circle. I'll get to the phone calls in just a moment. John, first off, the discussion about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, way overblown, or is there something there? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Do you buy into it?
No. Jerry Jones, as he's pointed, he said, my hand doesn't shake when I write the checks. He's never lost anybody that he wanted to keep, and he wants to keep Prescott. And then you see stories leaked out like Brady being interested. They're going to get the contract done. He may lose Amari Cooper. He may lose Byron Jones. Most people think they'll tag one or sign one and lose the other, but he's not letting Dak Prescott get out of there.
This may sound crazy. I don't think it's a bad thing that Amari Cooper may get away, because I felt like they got away from Ezekiel Elliott, which was their offense, to make sure Cooper got his passes thrown his way. And it went through Dak Prescott at that point and not Ezekiel Elliott. It can get back to the run game if Cooper's not there.
But he didn't play as well this year as he played last. In 2018, all three of them worked well. and they won a playoff game. For whatever reason, they didn't have the balance. And it's amazing because both Prescott, and he was fine. Problem is, Elliott got his money. Cooper's playing for a new contract, and he didn't play as well. Now, I don't know how many targets he had, but if they don't keep Cooper, they got to go find another receiver. And
it's a great draft for it.
It is if you want to rely on an untested rookie. And but that would almost guarantee they have to take a receiver. In the top three, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs III could be gone. Then Laviska Shenault may be gone too, because so many of these guys are such good players, just loaded with talent. But you can certainly get somebody if you know what they're doing. And with their general manager picking, you know they know what they're doing.
615-737-1045, our number. We go to the divisional.
And that's a joke, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Jerry's the GM.
We go to the divisional rival
Thanks
of the Cowboys, the Washington Redskins. And
they still play?
That's where Taylor is.
Taylor, up, condolences, Taylor.
Hey, how you doing, John? Always a pleasure when you're on, man.
Thanks very much,
Redskins,
Taylor.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Redskins got Ron Rivera. The cancer has been cut from the Redskins. Goodbye. What was his name? Bruce Allen and stuff like that, whatever. Okay, so.
Bruce Allen's gone.
No, you hated him so much you don't know his name.
Yeah, right. No, trust me, I know his name. That's the problem. But anyway, hey, so do we get a tight end? If so, who's good in the draft? Or do we go free agent? And second question is, Haskins going to work out at QB? Given more time with the new with Ron Rivera, is that going to make a difference? Thanks again. HTTR.
The problem with Rivera coming in, defensive background, he's got Dwayne Haskins, and they've committed to Haskins, but what if he didn't like him? What if he didn't have a good grade on him coming out when he was at Carolina last year? Then he'll get a one-year prove-it. What if he wants to sign a veteran like Cam Newton or Phillip Rivers or somebody like that? To me, you take your lumps with a rookie. You're probably going to be bad again. Fans are so happy that Bruce Allen's gone. And the decision to hire Rivera has been universally accepted up there. I would go with Haskins, lose, get another high pick, and they're going to get the best player in the draft right off the bat and Chase Young.
You think, John, you go with Haskins, lose, get a high pick, and draft another quarterback, or that Haskins is the answer, you get another high pick somewhere else?
Well, they got to find out.
Yeah.
They're going to have to find out. What if they got a shot at Trevor Lawrence next year? But I just think you can't cut the ties with Haskins after 1 year, because remember, he only started a few college games.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought he was in way over his head.
John McClain with us. You can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL.
He asked about a tight end. Not a good year for tight ends in the first round. Two number one picks in tight ends from Iowa last year. Probably won't be one in the first round, but there's a slew of them that'll be available in the second, third, and fourth.
Let's go to Joey in Cross Plains. Joey, welcome.
Hey, guys. So, John, the guys know this, and I'm going to let you know it. I'm blind. Lost my vision 5 years ago. So, with you and the guys, y'all really helped me, and I may have missed this, but with the defensive back coach that the Titans hired coming over from Houston, can you give us give me a little bit more background information on him, his coaching style, his coaching background, which kind of trees he came from, and just general stuff like that, man. And like I said, I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you very much. Anthony Midgett was with Bill O'Brien for 6 years as a secondary coach. And last year they hired Anthony Lynn's son, Danton Lynn. And he came in there and blew everybody away. And so Bill O'Brien wanted to promote him, and Anthony Midgett is not going to be the assistant, so he looked for another job. Mike Vrabel hired him. They had a bad secondary last year. It wasn't his fault. They had a lot of injuries. It was a revolving door for cornerbacks. Their best player, Justin Reed, his shoulder kept going out, and he kept popping it back in. Then he had surgery after the season. And Anthony's a really good guy. I was glad that Mike hired him. Mike knows what he's doing. He's not going to hire somebody because he was his friend, but he worked with him every day for 4 years, so he knows what Midget's all about. And I think the players will like, not just like, but they'll respect him.
Danton Lynn that good to keep around and let Midget walk?
According to the players and the other people in the organization, I don't know if he's going to be a head coach like his dad.
Yeah.
But he came from the Chargers. He wanted to learn from somebody else. And he immediately impressed the heck out of people. Like when Vrabel came from Ohio State, everybody right away, Bill O'Brien, all of them, this guy is special. Bill O'Brien said, he said, this guy's going to be a head coach. It's just a matter of not if, but when. And it happened even quicker than we thought, considering how bad they were that season when Mike was defensive coordinator. But they had 23 guys on IR, including 13 starters.
Get some more calls rolling in for John McClain momentarily. Paul, tell the best story we've heard all day involving the Princeton quarterback.
Yeah, I have to look up his name yet again. I went over to see him because
nobody cares about his name, just the fact he's from Princeton.
Yeah, well, right.
It sets up the story.
I thought it would have interesting things to say, and I also wanted to see what kind of stature he had, but he was sitting at a table, so I didn't get to see that.
You didn't ask him to stand up?
Kevin
Davidson, stand and let me measure you.
Please rise. he is finishing his last two classes at Princeton, which include a 100-page thesis, which is on the leadership style and development of General Petraeus, whom he's met with twice already for original source material. So he's working on a 100-page paper on the general, and maybe meeting with him at least once more. I would suspect that there's not another player here coming through the room. I don't know anybody else that's written 100 pages worth of papers all their senior year or all their final year.
They don't even read 100 pages. You tell them you went to Columbia?
I did not.
Did you ask if it was double? Is it double spaced, single, 1.5?
It doesn't matter.
It's 100 pages.
It's 100
pages.
My thesis, it wasn't called a thesis, but at Columbia Journalism School, was on Howard Stern's battle with the FCC.
Ooh, that was interesting.
John, it does matter. I would ask that question in writing a 5-page paper in college. Single space?
1.5? Can we negotiate here?
Was that not a standard? Like, we just had a standard.
The teacher, the professors, it varied on what you could do.
12-point font, double space.
Exactly.
Very wide margins.
Are they measuring this? Can it be 13? Will they know? John McClain with us. David wants to discuss quarterbacks. We'll do that coming up. 615-737-1045, our number, Chad.
Phone lines are wide open for your NFL questions for John McClain at 737-1045.
I'm sorry, guys, but Bill O'Brien is back. We're going to go get him out in the hallway. I
got
to run. Sorry. Thank you very much.
This.
Enjoy.
He just got the text that says we're doing it live.
We'll find out. We'll do it live. I wonder if Bill O'Brien's a delight at this time of year or not.
What? Who is this? Who is this? This is Paul Kuharsky.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Sorry, guys.
That's all good, John.
He and I are good, man.
Oh.
Yeah. He's forgotten. He's like Pac-Man Jones. He's gotten pissed off at so many people since then. He's
Bobby
long
Knight.
Forgotten about
like Bobby Knight and John Feinstein. He never knows if he's going to hate him or not.
Yeah.